We're talking about renewing the mind. We're talking about, we've been talking about being transformed. You know, the Bible says, as a man thinks, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks, so is he in his heart. And we're talking about renewing the mind, being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so we've been on a series. Proverbs 23:7 says that as a man thinks, so is he. Can you say that with me a couple of times? As a man thinks, so is he. One more time. As a man thinks, so is he. So as you can see, we talked about in Romans 12:2. Let's go ahead and look at Romans 12:2 one more time. Paul writing to the church at Romans, to the church there at Rome, and you know, he founded many churches. And he said to the church there, he says, and be not conformed to this world. He's talking about the world we're living in. And he said, do not conform to this world, but be transformed. And he gives us the answer to how to be transformed. He said, by the renewing of your mind. The scripture tells us the way we are transformed is to be renewed in our mind. In other words, if we're going to change our lives, we have to change our mind. Have to change our thinking. And so we're going to talk about tonight God's thoughts. What God thinks of you and how he thinks. Let me just go back again to just to reiterate that Romans 12:2. We are going to conform to the world around you. Or we're going to conform to the friends we have and where we hang out and become like them, think like them, feel like them. You know, of course, you know, if you study anything in social science, people tell us that, you know, your environment will change you. Wherever you hang out, the kind of friends you have, you become like them, you'll feel like them. You know, 1 Peter, over there, 1 Peter tells us that one day when you get saved, or the day you got saved, then you start to change and people wonder why you're not doing the things they're doing. You've changed your habits, or you don't run with them anymore, and they tell you things like, "What's wrong with you? You know, you think you're better than this?" How many of you ever went through that? You know, the people tell you that you think you're better than this, and so they want you to hang out with them because they're being convicted that they're not living right. So we're going to change. We're going to go the world's way, or we're going to go God's way. And the way to go to God's way is to start thinking like him. It's to start thinking what he thinks. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so the will of God is known. We're going to know God's will by transforming our mind to God, to the will of God. So you become what you think. What you think about often is you become, like very often you see people who get into some kind of maybe, you see sometimes different ones who that are, they're you see them every day on television or you see them whatever. And so they show how they got into that kind of mess they're in because they've been messing with certain things or thinking along a certain line, and eventually they jump into some kind of a big sin. And so we become what we think. So we had the notion of saying change your thought and change your life. Change your thoughts, change your life. So you become who you think. And we talk about the mind. The mind is the seat of reflection. The mind is what we use to perceive and understand the world around us. And this mind of ours is what we call part of our soul. You know, it's our soul. We have to develop our soul. And the Bible tells us to develop our soul. So it's the faculty, the mind is the faculty of perception or understanding, or it's the throne of feeling and judging and determining the faculty of knowing. And so We want to talk about God's thoughts tonight, what he thinks. Let's go to Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. I'm reading the Amplified Bible here. The scripture says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Of course, you know, God's thinking is different than ours. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. He's actually saying that your thoughts, you know, in a way there, he's saying your thoughts become your ways. You know, what you think on become your ways. You will begin to think, you'll act like the way you think. So that's why we have to change our minds. So declares the Lord, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You know, God has thoughts for us that are beyond our understanding. So we need to figure out what he thinks about us and how he wants us to conduct our lives. The scripture says he doesn't think like us, so we need to learn how God thinks. What does he think like? What's his thoughts towards us? So the only way to think and find out this is to study and meditate on God's word. We ought to study the word of God more often than we have in the past to know the scriptures like we ought to know them. There are many things we don't know about God and his plan for our lives. He wants us to know them. He wants us to know his plan. He wants us to know his purposes. As Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Now, let's go ahead and read this Amplified again, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs. So, if you're saying, you know, be not conformed to this world, the world he's talking about is the way people do things that are contrary to God's word. The values they have are not values that are in God. And we're not supposed to think like that. It says with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed. As you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what is that will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in plan and purposes for you. So God has a purpose for you. He wants you to think about what he wants you to do. He wants you to know that he's already predetermined some things, what he wants you to do. And we have to look at that and study it and find out what God wants. Say, for instance, for healing. It's not God's will that we go through life lame, you know, and sick and so on. If we're emotionally unstable and we're worried all the time, God doesn't want us to be worried and unstable, right? So God wants us to know his will. You need to put that someplace where you can write it down and to remind yourself. It's very simple, and yet people miss it. God wants you to know his will. God wants you to know his plan. God wants you to know his purpose. So you have to be able to understand, if you're walking around purposely or without purpose, God wants you to know what your purpose is. What are you designed to do? Where should you hang around with? Where should you go? You know, just get up every morning and just, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do today. And, you know, God wants us to be connected and to have a life that is fulfilled so that we can be happy. And I mean, happiness is not the ultimate plan. I mean, it's nice to get happy if you're doing something. But God wants you to know basically what his will. And I believe that if you find out the will of God, then you will be happy. You'll be, you know, at peace with yourself. So the renewing of the mind is the way of knowing God's will. God makes it possible for us to know and to study his word. And we need to learn how to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. God makes it possible for us to fellowship with his Spirit. You know, one thing about it is praying in the Spirit. Romans 12, Romans chapter, we looked at this many, many times. Romans chapter, you know, chapter 8, verse 26 and 27 talks about it there. There is a plan of God. He says there is a purpose of God in there. If you look at it, when you pray, we can get into the plan of God by praying. You know, that's one way we look at it. And Let's see what the Apostle Paul says here to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. The King James Version says, "But as is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them, that those that love God, but God had revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." So it says here that God will reveal His plan by His Holy Spirit. God wants you to know what He thinks about things. He wants you to know what his plan is. And so don't just sit there. You have to begin to pray out. You know, you have to pray out the plan. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, that, you know, we have to pray out like deep waters out of our spirit. I knew that, and I began to pray about certain things, you know, like when you get really serious, you know, particularly when I was at Rhema, I got serious about it, and I looked back at the last couple of years. It's been 18 years, over 18 years, 19 years now, since I graduated from Rhema. How did I get there? Well, somebody said, well, you go down 35 south, shut up. Be quiet. Somebody, get this guy over here. Okay, I'm just kidding, but listen. The Bible says, you know, hey, the Bible says you have to be quick to listen, right? Slow to speak. So be slow to speak. So how do you get there? By somebody said, do it with 35. No. How did I get there? It's by praying in the Spirit. See, you know, you have to be able to pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues. And the devil is against it. He don't want you to pray in tongues because he knows that you're going to find out what God's will is sooner or later. It says over here plainly that the Holy Spirit is going to tell you the plan of God. He says that neither have entered the heart of man the things that God had prepared for them. God has prepared for you, you know, a life. I know some people say, get a life. Somebody, you know, we have a life. So anyway, but you know, there's something that God had prepared for us. God has prepared for you a good life. You know, you read scriptures like, you know, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says that God had prepared a long time ago, before you're born, before He created the world. Ed, before He created the world, before you were here, God planned for you to be here. Getting better all the time. Amen. So God had prepared a long time ago. Just imagine that. Long, long time ago, God knew how to make things work so that this is his plan for you. You know, so He said long, long time ago. Just throw that scripture up there for Stephanie. Ephesians chapter 2. And let's go over here. So God wants us to think about, you know, these things. Because, you know, people, you know, they're dying. They're just... because they're lost without God. They took on the values of the world, and so they're going to kill themselves in their lives. They're going to, you know, do something because, you know, they can't find God's plan in this world. Well, you can't find the will of God. You can't find, you know, peace in this world. Peace only comes from God. It doesn't come from a car. It doesn't come from a woman or a man. It doesn't come from sex and drugs. It doesn't come from that. It comes from God alone. Only God can give you the peace that you need. Amen? So over here, and that, do you see that over there? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It's right there. For we are His workmanship. Can we throw it up on let's read this. For we are His workmanship. Just look at yourself. You're a workman. You're a real work of God. Amen? For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. So God in Christ, He created, recreated. It talks about He recreated you. In see that? He made you new. This is what He's talking about. Unto good works, God has made you to do good, something good, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, God had already planned some good things for you a long time ago. What are you doing in the gutter? Amen? What are you doing over there? And you're down in the dumps. You're depressed. You don't know where to turn. Well, because you've been disobedient to sit down and let somebody teach you about the things of God. You say, well, I can read the Bible myself. Yeah, but you need teachers. You need a pastor. That's why God put a pastor in a church to teach you. And that you're supposed to get up and, you know, Get up in the morning. Somebody said, get up. What do you do in the morning? You get up. You show up. and things start to happen, right? And so the Bible says, let's look at this in the Amplified, because clearly it's going to teach you something that's going to be good. Ed, you better pay attention. Okay. Me and Ed has a glowing fight that kind of spills out over here sometime. Whew, Ed. Ooh, man. Okay. For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art. You can say you're a work of art. Created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed. He's talking about when you're born again, right? Renewed, ready to be used, right? For good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set. Some people take their own path. They do what they want to do. And so they just figure, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and they ask God to bless their plans. Right? They say, God, bless my plan. I'm going to do this and do that. Well, God wants to bless it, but he can't bless it because it's not in his plan. I remember listening to Brother Hagin one time, you know, this was 1987, you know, he was talking about in 87, he was there before camp meeting. You know, they used to have camp meeting there, you know, about 40,000, 30,000 people show up at camp meeting in summertime. And we used to go to the convention, Tulsa Convention Center. There used to be a lot of people, sometimes 60,000 people or you know, would show up. A lot of people would show up, 40,000 people, and different times people show up during the time, you know, over the space of that week. And but people would come and show up to those meetings. It would just always be packed. And he said he was praying one afternoon, and he said, suddenly, listen to this, suddenly, he said, I'm in the Spirit. You know, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're in the Spirit. And you don't know, he said, I didn't know that God was going to show me this and do this for me. I wouldn't ever think about it like I would be landing on the moon that night. But I was there praying, and suddenly praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible says when you pray in tongues, you're in the Spirit. So he's praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, and suddenly he's out in the atmosphere where Jesus is. And Jesus took him up in the Spirit, and he said, you see, this convention center, he took him up over. He was sitting over at the convention center and looking down at all the ministers sitting there in the designated area where all the ministers sit. And Brother Hagin said, Jesus took him through all these men sitting there, great men of God. He said, you see all these men over here? He said, they prayed, they asked me to bless their plan, the plan that they have. And he said, I can't bless, I only bless them to a certain degree because it's in my plan, but there's certain things that they're asking me to do that I'm not in that plan. I can only grant their prayer to the degree that I am able to, if they prayed according to the will of God. You know, I don't know what they're asking for. Maybe they're asking for some buildings or properties that maybe God didn't want them to have for some reason or another, because it would take them another direction. I don't think God's against people to have buildings. God wants us to have property. Sometimes if it's in the way, you know, then maybe you shouldn't get that property if it's going to take you down another road. It says taking paths over here. We saw the scripture, taking paths that God had preordained a long, long time ago. God preordained a certain way. So his thoughts are not your thoughts. What you think is progress might not be God's progress. Some say, for instance, somebody takes a job. It's a better paying job, per se, and God didn't want them to go that direction. They went another direction. It's not always the better pay that God wants you. Yes, better pay is good, but if it's going to take you down to hell, it's not a good plan. Take you down with a bad marriage where you can get into something. You take a job and all of a sudden you're messing with somebody where you shouldn't be. God, you're tempted and doing something where you shouldn't be. And so they're on another path. And so they purely making decisions out of their mind. It's not God's will. It's not God's plan. And we have to understand, we have to pray the will of God so that we know his plan, what his perfect plan is. You know, another scripture I was thinking about, Psalm 139, which we'll go there later on, just to give you this, idea. Like God says, when you're in the mother's womb, he said, I have planned for you. He said, all your days are written out. It says in Psalm 139, when you're born, he said, I've written all the things that you should be doing. So you cannot deny that God has a perfect plan. He has a plan for you in this world. I remember, in school, when I was in college there, and I didn't know anything about God. I mean, I knew God and stuff, and maybe perhaps read the Bible at a certain time and knew about God and church and so on. And I'm in college. I'm 20, in my early 20s, and coming up to my mid-20s and thinking about purpose, asking what God, what should I do? And I laid before God, and I said, God, I want to do some things. I just feel that, you called me to do something, and there's a plan for me, and so on. I didn't know anything about it. I just prayed like that. And there was a different opportunities I had. And the one, the least one I wanted to do was what God wanted me to do, where God wanted me to be. One thing he wanted me to do is get out of town. Some of you guys should get out of town. I don't know. I got out of town. The Lord had me. I was with the Lord praying and constantly and always watchful in my prayer. You know how the Bible says, be watchful in your prayer. And I was watchful in my prayer. Every day, every single day, just watchful in my prayer in my early 20s, just praying every single day, asking God. I never asked for anything else. I didn't look for girls. I didn't go where parties are and go to the bars. Just constantly praying about what to do. Now, I could have gone to the bars. I could have maybe had dates. I didn't. I just began to pray and seek God out. One night, the Spirit of God came on me. The Spirit of God came from heaven, came all over me, and anointed me that particular time. And had a great visitation, encounter with God. It changed my life. It's because of praying and praying in the Spirit and seeking His face. And I guarantee you right now, if you start praying every single day and start seeking God, what He wants you to do, you'd find something. But you haven't really that, some of you maybe haven't really done that enough to really dedicate yourself every single day to be watchful in prayer. Like 1 Peter says, be watchful in prayer. And also in Ephesians talks about be watchful in prayer. Watch and pray. Thessalonians says, watch and pray. That you have to be, you have to be sensitive and constantly praying, being watchful all the time. What God wants me to do. And it says in there, as we read, that in Ephesians, he said that God has a plan. He says, no eye has seen, neither any man has ever heard the things that God had prepared for them that love him. If you're loving God, if you love God, there's wonderful things in store for us. And sometimes we want to go ahead of God because we think better than God. We know better than God. And so we begin to make our own plans without God. And so we go down a path. There is a path, There's a road that God specifically wants you to go on. And Proverbs says, the path of a man thinks he's going the right way, but there's destruction at the end of that. It looks good for a while, but in the end on there is going to be some trouble ahead of you. Remember Paul in the book of Acts, chapter 20, I believe, is over there, and he's praying, and God says to him, he wanted him to go a certain direction. He felt the Spirit of God wanted him to go a certain direction, but it didn't look good. You remember in Acts chapter 20? I believe it's verse 24. Let's pull it up there. I don't know if that's the right scripture or not. I believe it is. Acts 20, 24. Let's find it. Let's pull it up earlier than that, maybe a few verses up. And this is the... Okay, there it is. Now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. So you see, he felt in his spirit that there's a certain direction for him. And by the Spirit of God, he said, I go bound in the Spirit. In other words, there's something there in my spirit. I'm bound to go a certain way. And that, I don't even know where I actually am going, but I feel that there's a certain pull, a gravitation there where God wants me to go. But it don't look right. How many people know that the plan of God doesn't always look like you think it is? He said, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are a lot higher than your thoughts. And so sometimes we go and do things out of our own imaginations and do something, run ahead of God. And I remember Brother Hagin telling this all the time to us. He said, I'd rather be one step behind God than two steps ahead of him. Because when you're two steps ahead of him, you're always trying to, you know, you try to correct all your mistakes. You're spending all your time trying to correct your mistakes. And you better make sure if God wants you to go a certain direction. And so we think about these things. He said, he's not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He said, we don't know everything, but God does. But down in your spirit, you know, if you look down, if you take time and you listen to that, you're going to find out, hey, there's something here. There's a piece over here. I don't understand it, but I'm supposed to go this way. Let's go to the next one, he says. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesses never saying that bonds and affliction to bind me. In other words, the Holy Ghost said, you know, there's going to be trouble ahead of you. You know, you need to understand this, that the Holy Spirit is going to tell you things that, hey, I want you to go this direction. Listen, there's going to be some tough times ahead of you, but I'm going to take you this direction anyhow because I'm going to save you from those hard times. I'm going to be there when all the tough times come. I'm going to be there for you. How many people understand this? Just because you're going through a tough time doesn't mean you're not in the will of God. Particularly if you're following God and you want to follow God, it doesn't mean that, you know, you went through tough times. It doesn't mean, you know, that you missed God. You could be in the very, very will of God having a tough time and all everything around you, because the world is going one direction, being not conformed to this world. The world is going one direction. All your friends are going one direction, and you're trying to get across and go to the will of God in His direction. It's not always easy when everybody else is doing one thing and you look like you stick out like a sore thumb because you're not following everybody else. And people say, you're crazy, you know, and you affect your mind. If it's not renewed, you'll start to be persuaded with your own mind. Or the devil tell you something. He says, and God, the Holy Spirit witnesses how he got that. You know, God tells him that. Bonds and afflictions abide me or are awaiting me. And the Spirit of God spoke to me when we went to Tulsa. The Lord said to me, I want you to go, but I know that hell's going to break loose. And you know, I told my staff, we sat around with my board. I said, I want to let the board know that we're going to go here and do this, but there's going to be a lot of trouble. I want you to know this before we make our decision, because when I come back and make some other corrections, I want you to understand you're going to give me this ability to make this direction with my board. And so when I left within the two months or so, there was a lot of trouble happened. And so I had to fight my way to get back in, and something happened. There was a split in the church, and I told the board, listen to me, I told you before I left you, here's what's going to happen. It was my decision to put one person in charge of this church, but the board said, let's put this guy in charge. I said, no, that's not the right one. I said, this is not the right one. He said, no, because you're going to Tulsa, we want the decision to make who we want as our pastor while you're gone. Well, they got it, and what happened? There was a split right down the middle. I got back home, and after 2 years, they had 29 people left in that church. Pretty quiet. I tell you, you have to listen to the Holy Ghost. And the Lord said to me, you know, you stick with me. I want to get you through this. See, God didn't plan that you're going to have, Brother Hagin, to say, walk on beds of roses. Hey? It's not always that great. Things don't look good. But knowing this, God has a plan in it. Everybody say, God has a plan. Because sometimes you don't know. Let's go here, verse 24. He says that, but none of these things move me. So whatever you look at, whatever you think about, is going to move you emotionally. Whatever you focus your mind on, whatever you think about most often, is going to move you emotionally, mentally, and your decision is going to be based. Most of the time, people live in carnality. They're moved by how they feel. Oh, I'm going to take this direction. It feels much better. It's easier. It's easier path. It's a quicker way to do this thing. The quicker way, the easier path is not always the best way. Most of the time it is. Especially if God said it. We're right in the plan of God. None of these things move me, neither to come my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. and the ministry which I received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You can say at the end, you know, hey, God brought me through this stuff. I asked somebody one day, how come you, where's your brother? You're doing this and that. How come, where's your brother? How come he doesn't serve God? He said, well, he's working on his testimony. Well, we shouldn't be working on a testimony. We should work on working with the Lord. Amen. I remember Peter Youngman said one time, you know, I lived clean, all my life as a teenager. And of course, you know, he got into trouble in his. You know what? Some of you guys pointing at some people because you lived in church all your life and nothing happened to you nor your children. But later on, you're going to find out that there's trouble on everybody. Amen. I've seen people live sort of like clean all their lives. All of a sudden, and 35 years old, 40 years old, they're into all kinds of mess. They left God out. We should leave. We should have God on in the all day, from the time we're born, and the time we die. God should be in there. So, what happened? You know, well, things happen to people when they leave God out. You know, so let's go look at the scripture here again. Glory to God. So he said, eye has not seen, nor ear have heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things God prepared for them, but God had revealed them to us by his Spirit. So how is the Spirit, how are you going to get that plan out of you into your mind? If the Spirit of God is, you know, we can be so insensitive to the Spirit and we listen to our own mind. Our own mind without God, the carnal mind I'm talking about, not the Spirit of God, the Spirit of, the Holy Ghost. When he puts thoughts in your mind. And so, how are you going to get that out? Well, we need to learn how to do that. And we were showing you over there, because Romans chapter 8, we talked about that before, about praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, spending some time praying and getting some direction. If you don't know your direction in your life, you start praying in the Holy Ghost. And listen. Pay attention to what he has to say. Sometimes it might be something you don't want to hear. Your flesh doesn't want to hear it. So we pray anyway. Now let's go to verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Listen, he says, God revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches the things of God, the deep things of God. Verse 7 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. We speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. And we said, in 1 Corinthians 14, that when we pray in tongues, we're praying mysteries. Mysteries. What's those mysteries? They're plans, hidden truths that only the Spirit of God knows. Praise them to you and through your Spirit. And, you know, and Isaiah says that that wisdom is put by in your Spirit. But, you know, we stir it up by praying in tongues. So we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, the wisdom once hidden from man, but now revealed to us by God. That wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, lift us to the glory of his presence. None of these rulers of this age recognize and understand this wisdom. If they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written in the scriptures, things which eye has not heard, eye has not seen, nor the ear heard, and which had not entered the heart of man, all those things that God prepared for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence. You know, this particular version has, it has mistakes in it. I don't know if you know that. Some of these, I guess they're incorrectly, I don't know if you ever read some of those, the versions. Some versions, they're wrong. I mean, it leaves words or misspelled words. Now, God has that plan. We know that God has a plan. I could read right up to verse 13 and show you the Holy Spirit wants to help us to get our mind renewed. So God wants us to know his will. God wants you to know his will right now. You either are going to be transformed to the world around you, to the people's thinking and their ways and values about life, or you're going to be transformed by God's word. Changed by his will. So, you can follow his plan. You can follow his ways. It's not always the way you're thinking right now. So we have to start thinking like God. purposely. So ask yourself, is what I'm doing? Ask yourself, is what I'm feeling right now about people, about things, about places, about what are the God's ways, is that God's plan, the way I feel about things? Because very much of the time, the way you feel is going to be the decision you're going to make. What you focus on long enough, as a man thinks in his heart, so will he be. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we want to thank you tonight for your word. We give you praise and glory for all that you're doing. Let's go ahead and stand up and thank him in Jesus' name for his plan. He is doing something in your life. He's already done something. I want to let you know he's already made the plan, and it's up to you to get into that plan. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. There's a will and there's a purpose. There's a plan for you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I want you to meditate right now that God has a purpose, that God has a plan for you right now. You might not feel good right now. You might not like it where you are. Maybe it's God's will for you to be there. Maybe it's not God's will for you not to be there. But God has something for you. He's always made a plan for you. There is a purpose for you. And Father, we want to thank you. We're going to follow that peace in our hearts. Let the peace of God, the Bible says, rule in your heart and in your mind. And every time you think about something, there's a peace there. Hallelujah. Amen. Every time every time you think about something, you might not like it, but there's a peace there. He said, let the word of God rule in your heart and in your mind. And that thing is working together. Father, I don't understand it. I don't understand, the whole thing. But I know you have a plan for me. I want you to understand. God wants you to know that he has determined a plan for you. There is a plan and a purpose for you. Thank you, Lord. For Father, right now, we're going to stir this up right now. In the name of Jesus, go ahead, stir your spirit up right now. And your spirit, because I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Father, in the name of Jesus, there's a new phase coming. Some of you might go through a hard time in the future there. There's something there. God says, but I'm hold steady, because I'm there with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I want you to remember, when you're hitting the tough time, God says, I'm there for you. Don't give up. Don't cause a shipwreck happen in your life. God says, do not be afraid. When the tough times are even hard, harsh on you, do not be afraid. Even though things seem to be insurmountable, the odds against you, you're going to make it through. Even seem like you're defeated. Any moment you're going to be defeated. But God says, don't give up on it. Don't cast your confidence away. Put your confidence in me. As a man thinks in his heart, begin to think God's thoughts. What he thoughts about it. What he thinks about it. Thank God and say, Lord, what your thought? This is not your thoughts. This is not your ways. Your ways, you have another way beyond my understanding. And so I'm going to stir myself up in the name of Jesus that there is a plan for me. Oh, ha, ha, ha. There is a plan for me. Oh, Ramaka Sande. Oh, Ramaka Sande. Reshite. Monroshite. Mamaraka. Some of you guys got to stir yourself right up. Oh, Shiki. Mananaki. Reshite. Alabokosa. Oh, Ramaka Sande. Takishi. Monon. Oh, Shi. Amraka. Shite. Elemekera. Nasatakara. Dasate. Sondorokosa. Te. Rebekera. Mananaki. Reshite. Sandra Makas, Sandra de Bokushiti, Elimini Mana Dakreshiti, Sambra Kasa Takiri Bella Dakre, Diski, Siti, Elamakra, Dol Siti, Dibam. Thank you, Lord. Sundro Kushiti, the devil is breathing hot breath, his hot breath is at your back. Oh, Haravishiti, he says that he's going to cut you down. You need to rise up and tell him, God's on my side. He's breathing on you. You could actually sense his breath on you, and death is behind over there. But you need to shove him off. Get back, devil. Get back. In the name of Jesus, cover yourself with the blood. He can't get past that blood. He cannot overthrow the blood of Jesus. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. What of our testimony? That's the thought of God coming over you. That's the thought of God. He can't penetrate that bloodline. He cannot destroy you. He said he's going to destroy you, but he couldn't. You're still here. He tried to kill you, but you're still here. He tried to destroy you, but you're still here. You're still standing, praise God. Habra kasateri manana. Hey, debe soto cobra nidi shiti. Oh, ha, 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 ha. Oh, Oh, ho, 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 bane babadati jabalare, arabari da da ba shiti koro boso, ho, ho, ha, 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 da de ki de amamo soto kora ba, idi de shite, ah, ha, 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 de boso, nanko de boso, te kamana, ne de ba kora ba, de alama sate de. There's a wall around you, there's a wall around you. A wall, impenetrable wall all over you. God has prepared something around you. Oh, a shield. That's what it is. It's the blood. The blood, as you plead the blood of Jesus. Oh, ha, ha, ha. No sickness. There's a path. God has designed that where no sickness would come there. No sudden destruction, no sudden heart attacks. There's no sudden attacks. There's nothing there to kill you. God has prepared a place that where no devil can walk. Only you, his child, he's designed that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. His will is that you walk in peace. There might be terror all around you, but inside you there'll be peace. There's peace. Jesus said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Time and time again, he told Israel, when you come against a nation that's stronger than you, don't be afraid. The same thing he told the Israelites is the same thing he's telling you. Whatever opposition there is facing you right now, he said, my thoughts are, you're going to make it over there. You're going to get the best. Thank you, Jesus. That's the Bible. That's his thoughts. His way is the best way. It's the only way. Can you lift that hand one more time and bless him? Father, we want to thank you and bless you in the name of Jesus. You are so awesome, God. You're so wonderful. We stir ourselves up. We're not waiting for anybody to stir us up. We're going to do that because your will says you reveal things to the Bakishitama by the Spirit of God. You reveal things to us by the Spirit of God when we pray. Everybody say, when I pray in tongues, when I get into the Spirit, God reveals those things to me and I'll know exactly what to do. So I made up my mind. I'm going to know exactly what to do because I'm praying in the Spirit. Say, I'm watchful. I'm praying. Amen. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. Have a great night. Those of you watching online, I want you to know if you're watching online right now, in the name of Jesus, God has a plan and purpose for you right now. In Jesus' name. I want you to pray this prayer, simple prayer. Just say, Jesus, I invite you to my life right now in Jesus' name. Come into my heart. Save me. I'm a sinner. And if you've been away from God, just say, God, I'm asking you to come in my life. Change my life. I've been away from you. Receive me back as one of your own. Thank you so much for forgiving my sin. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer, we want to help you. We want to send something to you to help you in your spiritual walk. God bless you. See you next time. Amen.